My name's Richard Yee. I'd like to introduce you to Dr. Rasa Ruzaskaiti, who's presenting today's paper, Opportunities and Challenges in Cross-Jurisdictional Comparison of Compensation Schemes. Dr. Rasa is Acting Senior Research Fellow at ISCA, Monash University. Rasa has been with ISCA since 2010 and has an extensive research experience in statistical analysis and modelling of large administrative data sets, and has already published numerous papers on healthcare service utilisation after transport-related injury and recurrent workers' compensation claims. As a research fellow, Rasa conducts analysis, provides support and consultancy to the research programs at ISCA, and manages external requests for the data sets on which much of ISCA's research into workplace and transport injuries is based. Originally from Lithuania, Rasa was awarded a scholarship to undertake a doctorate in neuroscience to investigate new diagnostic tests for multiple sclerosis at the Australian National University in 2001. This was her second doctorate, her first being in computer science, in which she studied the early prediction of epilepsy. So she's certainly very qualified, and I'd like you to put your hands together to welcome Rasa to the stage.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you very much for a nice introduction. So my talk will not be very long. I will probably will talk about 10-15 minutes, but the reason we ask you to come closer, because I want to open this for discussion and actually to gain your opinion and your experience on the topic I will be talking today. So I will be talking about opportunities and challenges in cross-jurisdictional benchmarking comparison of compensation schemes. Firstly, I'll give you a little bit more background about this study, about this work, what we've done, so you know where it started and what happened. So, initial thoughts about comparing workers' compensation schemes and occupational health and safety started early 2012, so nearly, well, a year and a half ago in Canada, when we attended that Canadian conference for research in work and health. So New Zealand, Canadian and Australian jurisdictions sit down and thought that it would be very interesting to do the study in order to compare occupational health and safety and workers' compensations, because countries share similar economic and as well legislative jurisdiction, so it would be interesting to see what are the results and is it possible to learn from each other. Now, how do I move? Okay, let's go to you. So firstly, I would like to acknowledge colleagues who participated in the study and organizations who participated in this pilot study. So firstly, work was done at the Institute for Safety Compensation and Recovery Research, ISCA, where I am currently employed. And we were using WorkSafe Victoria data for the study, as well as WorkSafe BC, British Columbian data in Canada. And it was done in collaboration with Partnership for Work Health and Safety in British Columbia. I would like to say a special thank you to Terry Bodger, former Director of Corporate Strategy, WorkSafe BC, who had a big input in designing the study and advised about the aims of the study and potential outcomes. As well, to Megan Bohensky from University of Melbourne, who helped with the research design and data analysis. So why to do comparative study and why to conduct benchmarking research? There are lots of organizations who do benchmarking in the world. Benchmarking of airlines, benchmarking of pharmaceutical companies, of transport systems, etc., etc. Now, why do you do comparative studies of occupational health and safety systems and compensation systems? Well, there is a potential to identify areas for system and policy improvement. If we choose appropriately comparisons, we might be able to disentangle the structural drivers of injury from other influences. Policy variation can aid in program and impact evaluation, as well as learning from across jurisdictions can lead to improvement in system efficiency and worker safety. So it's better to compare several organizations, several jurisdictions, rather to learn from yourself only. Of course, there are challenges in comparative studies, and there are a number of them. That, of course, it is hard to compare jurisdictions, policies, injured workers' outcomes. There are trivial differences in causal attribution to the system, and of course, difficulties in comparing the data. So consistency, availability, access of the data, that all can cause lots of troubles. Now, a little bit background about this study that we did. So this slide shows you serious injury and disease claims per 1,000 full-time employees in Australia and New Zealand in 2009 across states in Victoria and also New Zealand. As you see, numbers are reasonably comparable. Now, this slide shows you injury claims per 1,000 employed workers in Canadian provinces in 2009. Again, you see that more or less numbers comparable, so it means that give you a pretext for these comparative studies. So this was a case study of Victorian, Australia, and British Columbian Canadian jurisdictions, because both of these jurisdictions share similar political, economic, and demographic environments. There is a broadly similar approach to occupational health and safety and workers' compensation. They have no-fault publicly administered insurance. But, however, there are substantial differences and variations in regulations, policy, and practices. A little bit more information about British Columbia and Victoria. So British Columbia, population less than 5 million people. In Victoria, more than 5.5 million of people. 2.3 million of them employed in British Columbia, where 2.8 million employed in Victoria. Workforce coverage in British Columbia, about 94%, and 85% in Victoria. Now, if you look at this slide, it shows you claims data, labor force information in 2010 by age groups in British Columbia and Victoria. So data are very much comparable. So what it suggests again, that it should be nice to compare them and to see what are the outcomes, return to work outcomes, are they similar as well, given that these are similarities. Inclusion criteria for the study. So what we decided to do, we decided to compare time loss injury illness claims only, non-fatal injuries. Claim injury illness year were chosen from 2006 to 2010. So we had 5 years injury data. We chosen all working age claimants from 15 to 64 years old, and we looked at claim level data. So it means that we also included multiple claims. So all repeat claims were included into the study. Now, study sample. In British Columbia, we had short-term disability claims, about 268,612 claims who were included in the study, so with at least 1 day of wage loss. In Victoria, we had 247,971 claims, time loss claims, excluding medical claims, which means that there were at least 10 days of wage loss. So claims started at 11 days after disability. Now, injury type. We decided to look at all injuries and illnesses in both jurisdictions, and as well to choose one injury that would be common across Canada and Australia. So we thought that fractures would be a very common injury described by similar characteristics in British Columbia and Victoria. So that's why we decided to compare rates across fractures as well. Now, what we did as well, we looked at all occupations, both in Victoria and British Columbia. And again, we decided to look at the occupation that could be similar both in Victoria and British Columbia. And that was a little bit tough because coding of occupations and industries is very much different across both jurisdictions. However, we thought that nurses probably would be the most comparable occupation in these two jurisdictions because nurses do similar jobs and they are characterized by the same characteristics, the same features. So in British Columbia, we included nurse supervisors and registered nurses. In Victoria, we had nurse managers and registered nurses as well. However, we had to drill it down to see the subcategories, and in Victoria, we realized that there are nurse educators and researchers and registered midwives who had to be excluded from the study because they were not part of a British Columbian system occupations. So what we did, so the aim of our study was to calculate rates of claims at certain points after the injury, at certain time points after the injury, and to see how they are compared. So what we did, we took workforce estimates from Statistics Canada Labour Force Survey, which was used as a denominator for British Columbian data set, and we calculated cumulative incident rate per 1,000 employed workers. Total claim injury illness count was taken over 5 years, five-year time period from 2006 to 2010, and averaged employed labor force. Rates using a range of minimum threshold values for time loss, including claims, were calculated at least 1, 5, 11, 15, 20, 30, 90, and 180 wage loss days. And rates were age-specific, so per 10-year age groupings for all injuries and illnesses, as I told earlier, and for fractures. And as well, overall, all occupations and nurses separately. Now, for Victoria, it was very similar what we did. So we used a compensation research database, which contains WorkSafe Victoria claims data, and which we have availability at ISCA. We took all accepted injury illness claims with at least 11 days of time loss extracted for workers of working age from 2006 to 2010. And we took workforce estimates that were available from ABS, which was used as a denominator to calculate cumulative incident rates for 1,000 working population. And again, total claim injury count over 5 years period was used as a denominator. Now, because Victorian claims started at 11 days, so we couldn't actually start calculating these rates for days 1, 5, etc. So we started counting for days from 11, 15, 30, and 60, 90, and 180. And again, these age-specific rates were calculated for all injuries and all injuries and illnesses, and fractures separately, as well as for all occupations and nurses separately. And a comparison of aggregate jurisdiction-specific claim rates was conducted using direct adjustment to control for underlying age distribution, and age standardized cumulative incident rates were calculated. So here you see the preliminary results of this pilot study for all injuries and age-adjusted rates for British Columbia and Victoria for all occupations for 1, 5, 11, 15, 20, etc. days. And as you see, its results are quite interesting. Well, you would expect this pattern, as you see in the figure, but there is something happens at that 11 days in Victoria, which pointed out that there are actual structural differences in both jurisdictions, which interesting why they happened and what is going on. Now, if you look at this slide, it shows you fractures, again, age-adjusted rates for all occupations in British Columbia and Victoria. So there are not big differences in this slide, and there is no spike, which was shown in the previous slide. And again, there are slightly less injuries in Victoria than in British Columbia. But if you look at nurses for all injuries, again, you'll see that spike increased rate at 11 plus days in WorkSafe Victoria jurisdictions, and it also happens in fractures for nurses. So what does it say? So comparisons among same occupation and injuries show similar overall injury rate and pattern in disability duration. That's what we could expect. However, there are differences as well. And this spike in claim rates suggests that there are some structural differences. And since it was a pilot study where we had only two jurisdictions, question arises what happens if we add more jurisdictions, and would there be similar patterns, or would be even more differences, and how big they would be. So now it's over to you, because I really would like to know your opinion and your suggestions where to go further from here. As I said, it was a pilot study, and it's just the very early stage of this benchmarking research that we are going to conduct. And I would like to know your opinion, your suggestions, your ideas, how to approach, what methods to choose, where to go with this, and is it useful to do comparative studies of occupational health and safety and workers' compensation schemes.
We can open up for questions. If you have a question, just please state your name and your company, and please start. Well, just to kickstart, what other jurisdictions would you think you might examine, Ross?
Look, like as I say, that was the beginning, including Victoria's workers' compensation scheme, but there are some other institutions in Australia who expressed their interest in being part of this comparative study. Also, we have New Zealand ACC who expressed their interest, and as well we have a few other Canadian, Ontario, and some others who would be interested to become a part of the study.
Hi, I'm Pauline, and I'm also from ISCA. My question is, are you planning as part of this project or to start another project to follow up the differences that you found to understand why it's happening? And if so, how might you find out why these differences exist?
Sorry, I didn't actually understand the second part of your question.
Are you going to follow up on the differences, and how might you do that?
Well, yeah, that's a good question, because like as I say, this is just quantitative data, but it might be necessary to do some qualitative research and also policy comparisons in order to figure out what is actually happening and why these differences are occurring. So again, this opens you a broader research question. So we can't compare only quantitative data, only claims data, because we need to know additional information to explain these differences and similarities. So, yes, there is a plan to look into this additional data and to try to disentangle those, you know, that information behind.
Hi, Tony Morris. Perhaps a comment, maybe a question. I was wondering, was the purpose of your studies to, I suppose you can identify the differences between the schemes, but presumably you're looking beyond that to say what are the cost implications of the differences, and how could you use that to gain more momentum for your research, knowing that perhaps many in this room would be interested in the cost implications of those differences rather than the differences themselves?
So you see, it's learning from each other. So it's a good point that you just mentioned. Since it was a pilot study, so it was a very beginning looking at some data, but the question is what else we should look at and where we are going with this information. So we have some similarities and differences, and then informing these jurisdictions so they can learn from each other, given these, you know, the differences, will probably help with return to work outcomes and also duration of disability and
probably improve. That's our aim. But then, like again, like as I said, we need more data, we need more information, we need to look probably at completely different aspects of those jurisdictions that need to be taken into consideration. So it's basically learning from each other. It's not enough to have the data that shows you, okay, you are doing this bad or you're doing this well, and that's it. So there's additional step which is needed that actually translates this research into policy, into practice that could be taken into account and basically used into policy.
Natalie Spearing from Queensland. I just wondered, do you think there's more benefit in benchmarking across schemes, which are obviously quite different for a number of different reasons and quite complex reasons, rather than just looking within your own scheme and continuously improving, like measuring what you're doing, making changes, tweaking it, and then seeing what the outcomes are and improving in that way, rather than benchmarking across a whole range of schemes which are quite different?
So I understand you asking me why you do benchmarking and compare different schemes rather to look at yourself only. Well, yeah, that was a starting discussion for previous meetings that we had with different jurisdictions. See, looking at yourself, so many schemes already did that. They looked at themselves temporarily and they looked, you know, over time. But when you have only your own jurisdictions, you are sort of bounded by lots of limitations. A lot of structural changes, a lot of policy changes. They might not be able to answer you the questions if you are doing better or you are doing worse, because you're limited by that. But when you compare yourself with a different jurisdiction which has similarities to yourself, you are able to figure out in where you are better and where you are doing worse compared to the similar sort of patterns. So that's why benchmarking helps you to identify the issues that your jurisdiction has. Does that answer your question?
In the graphs that you had, the Victorian scheme had the spike in 11 days plus.
Yeah.
Did you have any further comments on why that might be the case?
Yeah, well, that's very interesting, why that spike occurs, and that's a question where we've been asking ourselves what is happening. Does it mean that actually this 10 or 11 days waiting period is not good because everybody just keeps, you know, waiting and lodging these claims? Should Victoria consider just opening from one day, the same as British Columbia? So again, that's a structural question, and additional information needs to be added into policies and, you know, structural background into consideration to answer these questions. Because, see, this was just what the data shows, your quantitative analysis shows, which obviously a difference, but why that happens, it needs more brain and more data.
Is anyone here from Victoria that might have an answer?
Actually, it would be interesting to hear from those policy people what do they think about that and why that might appear. Why does it mean that 10 days, it has something to do with that 10 days, or is that something different, and why that happened, and what should be a potential, you know, result out of that? Is that good or bad?
Hi, Lisa from Employers Mutual. I was just wondering how you adjust for the difficulties encountered with inconsistent application of talks in this sort of research.
Sorry, I couldn't understand the question. How did we adjust for...
How would you adjust for difficulties you might encounter by inconsistent applications of talks for this sort of research?
Oh, well, yeah, well, that's exactly, that's not a problem, because like as I said, here we have all injuries, and we chosen one injury which was only fractured. So that was again problem with comparison, because you need to adjust for occupation type, for injury type. So that's another issue in your benchmarking studies, because you have to find the way actually how to compare. So before actual comparisons, you need to find what you're comparing. So in this particular study, we just consulted amongst ourselves and also policy people in New York State, Victoria, and British Columbia to figure out what is the most frequent and sort of the same way characterized injury that could be used for this particular study. So that's where we started. But then again, there is a road ahead in order to find out how to adjust and what is the most appropriate way of adjustment for injury type, for occupation, for industry, you know, for different other components as well. For example, in Canada, we have all those climate differences, you know, that in Australia we don't have cold winters or, you know, snow, and type of injuries might be different as well. Or, for example, mining occupations and industries that are more sort of frequent in Canada, which are not that much here in Australia. So there are different ways of looking at that, and also needed to be taken into consideration.
Okay, if there's no other questions, we might finish there. I'd like to put everyone to put their hands together to thank Russell in the usual way.